The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
I help people every day to improve their health. Sometimes they've had lifelong issues or not fully recovered after a stressful event. The doctors have often run out of ideas. My name is Kevin Davis. Our bioresonance system starts with an automated full body scan. It's simply the quickest way to shine a light on what's going on inside, with treatments during the same session. For the latest health tech at the best price, visit biohealthtech.co.uk today and make us your first choice for a healthier you.
Welcome to the Herbal Medicine Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Kirsten Hartwig, and I've put together a bouquet of herbal news and views, interviews, poems and songs for you. You're also going to meet a Siberian shaman and an expert medical herbalist telling us about how to treat children with herbal medicine. We'll talk about school lunches and apples, and you can download fact sheets and recipes from the UK Health Radio website. Welcome to the Herbal Medicine Show. Enjoy!
In the news this week, medical cannabis products will become available for prescription in the UK this autumn, following challenges in court and public appeals by parents with children suffering from severe epilepsy. Research, published in several countries where cannabis treatment is legal, has shown cannabis oil to reduce the severity and frequency of epileptic fits. Doctors will be able to prescribe medicinal cannabis products on the NHS without a special license, but Home Secretary Sajid Javid emphasises that this change in policy is not a first step in legalising recreational cannabis use. Eating lentils can help stabilise blood sugar. Professor Alison Duncan and her team from the University of Guelph in Canada have found that pulses, such as lentils, have the potential to reduce chronic diseases associated with unstable blood sugar. Pulses are very nutrient-dense foods, high in starch and protein. They are absorbed slowly, which means they don't cause spikes in blood sugar levels, meaning that eating lentils can help lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. Public Health England has published a new health profile report showing that the English population is growing older. The average life expectancy is now 79 years for men and 83 years for women. And there are now nearly three times more people aged 85 and over in England than in 1971, namely 1.35 million, a figure that could exceed 2 million by 2031. But the number of healthy people is not increasing. On average, people can expect to live 63 years in good health, meaning that men will spend a fifth and women a quarter of their lives in poor health. Dementia, mental illness, obesity, diabetes, and muscle and joint problems are on the increase. Dementia is already the leading cause of death in women, and seems to be overtaking heart disease as the most common cause in men. The report also shows that people living in the richest areas of England stay healthy for over 19 years more than those in the poorest. Professor Helen Stokes Lampard from the Royal College of General Practitioners says that while genetic predisposition and socioeconomic factors are important, there remains a clear connection between diet, lifestyle and overall health. A YouGov poll carried out by Public Health England and the alcohol education charity DrinkAware has found that 1 in 5 adults between the ages of 18 and 85 drink more than the recommended 14 units per week. The poll also showed that middle-aged drinkers are the most likely age group to drink more than the recommended units and find it much harder to cut back on alcohol than improving their diet and exercise regimes. Public Health England and DrinkAware have started a new campaign called Drink Free Days, As part of a growing awareness of the health risks associated with drinking alcohol, a recent large global study by The Lancet showed that there is no safe level of alcohol consumption, although the risks are much smaller with lower consumption. The more alcohol you drink, the more you increase your risk of high blood pressure, heart disease, liver disease, and cancer. Dr. Julia Verne, a spokeswoman on liver disease for Public Health England, said that having a day off drinking gives you a chance to clean your system and give your liver a rest. It also has an immediate impact on your sleep and calorie consumption.
Autumn is all about colours and berries, big skies and storms blowing apples to the ground. I love this season, where the air is cool and the sun still has power. Soon the nights will be longer than the days, a time for reflection and reading by the fire, and a time for harvest, for learning and for new beginnings, especially for children. They grow up so fast, get up so early, full of excitement and anticipation. They are the future, the trees of tomorrow, that need nurture and nourishment and good care and encouragement to grow big and strong and able to nurture others. But as a society, all too often we forget to nourish those fine beings from the future. We give them processed foods, man-made, nature-identical products with added vitamins, minerals, flavors, colors, preservatives, and cheap fillers. Luckily, some schools, families, and societies are rebelling against such insanity, banning processed foods and replacing them with direct farm-to-school box schemes, meatless Mondays, salad bars, plant-based options, fresh organic meals made from scratch and full of fresh fruits and vegetables, greens, beans, and whole grain breads. And guess what? Students love it. And scientific studies from Scandinavia, Europe, and America all show the same obvious results. The children become happier, healthier, more alert, and less aggressive. We were all children once, and my generation can just about remember when organic produce was the norm, when water was clean and free and food was unadulterated. I wish the children of today and tomorrow may reclaim that natural birthright. In fact, my wish is already beginning to come true. There are signs that times are changing. For in France, for example, at least 50% of school meals must now consist of vegetables, and the EU is planning to subsidize the inclusion of fresh fruit and vegetables in school meals. Here in the UK, a public campaign is growing to increase plant-based meals in schools and to eliminate processed meats. In Japan, all school meals are already locally grown, and school lunches in Brazil are put together by nutritionists and prepared from scratch using a minimum of 30% organic produce. If you don't happen to live in an area where healthy, unprocessed school meals are available, have a look at thefoodrevolution.org, where you can find a wealth of super healthy and delicious packed lunch ideas. The Food Revolution Network is also a rich source of information about this long overdue evolution and about how to solve the problem by becoming a part of the solution. Eat crap, feel crap. What's the point of that?
Tell you that they're working for your good. It's like the wolf telling you he'll show you the way out of the wood. Don't you believe a single word is just dollar bills they see. But if it's going to go on and on, well, it's down to you and me. Eat crap and you'll feel crap. And the drug companies, they tell you that they're working for your health. And it's just an unkind rumor that they're making wealth by stealth. But don't you believe a single word, it's just million-dollar bills they see. And if it's going to go on and on, well, it's down to you and me. Crap and you'll feel crap, and what's the point in that? Now the media companies tell you they're working to inform and entertain. They're not molding and shaping your views, oh no, they're not molding and shaping your brain. But don't you believe a single word, they know all about mind control. Sit down in front of your TV, go on, relax and swallow it whole. Think crap and you'll feel crap, and what's the point in that? Now you may be a little uneasy with all this talk of us and them. You may not like finger-pointing songs if we should all take a share of the blame. Yes, absolutely, I'm with you. We all make the world every single day. And it's our voices and our choices that'll lead and show the way. So I say eat crap, feel crap, take crap, feel crap, think crap, feel crap. What's the point in that? No, don't you eat crap, you won't feel crap. Don't take crap, you won't feel crap. Don't think crap, you won't feel crap. 'Cause your life's worth more than that.
There's absolutely no reason to eat crap at this time of year, when gardens and hedgerows are full of apples, as they are right now, falling to the ground in such an abundance that it can be hard to keep up. They say that an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and whoever said that may have a point. Because apples, called Malus domestica in Latin, are packed full of health-giving ingredients like vitamin C, potassium, malic acid, tannins, volatile oils, fiber, pectin, and fruit sugars. They're detoxifying and help lower blood cholesterol levels. Apples stimulate the secretion of digestive juices and they aid protein digestion. Their pectin binds with cholesterol and bile acids, enhancing their excretion from the body. The pectin also makes apples a good remedy for diarrhea. And I remember my mother giving me grated apple when I was a child with a sore tummy. Apples can also help protect the body against the effects of some environmental toxins, of which there are many these days. Eat them grated with carrot or beetroot, chopped onto yogurt or baked or juiced or just as they are, fresh from the tree. You can download an apple fact sheet and some appetizing apple recipes from the UK Health Radio website. Today I have the pleasure as my first interviewee to welcome my friend and colleague and fellow herb hunter, Francis Hambly from Hambly's Herbal Dispensary in Watthurst. Hello Francis, are you there?
I am. Hello Kirsten, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
And the reason, apart from you being my herb hunter fellow, that I wanted to talk to you today is because this program is about children. I thought it would be great to for you to tell us something about what we can do to help children adjust to this new season.
Yes, already children are going down with coughs and colds, so going back to school is a challenge in all sorts of ways.
Yes, I suppose when they are challenged and get more stressed than they immune systems are under pressure as well, and they are more susceptible to diseases. And then with all the new bacteria from all the other families they meet.
Yeah, yeah, especially when they just start at school, where, you know, it's the way they build up their immune system. They're exposed to everyone else's bugs as well.
I suppose that's a good thing, as long as it doesn't get out of hand.
Yes, yes, it's a good thing. You just don't want them being really affected by it and getting ill the whole time. So it's just managing the coughs and colds and sniffles that come along and get them through. There's certain foods that are rich in vitamin C, like black currants, that you can give as a healthy type of squash rather than one with sugar or sugar alternatives in there. Probiotics are really important. So they can be given in the form of fermented foods like yogurt and kefir, or as a supplement. And probiotics, it helps to build the gut flora, and that's a really big part of the immune system.
To have a healthy gut flora,
yes,
to keep out the baddies.
yes, and it can be amazing to see how well that works for people. So to take those on a daily basis, and over the winter, vitamin D is important. Obviously, we've had a lovely hot summer in this country. Yeah, we don't get enough over the winter, so getting enough vitamin D.
And what herbs would you use for coughs and colds?
Well, if you have a child who's very prone to picking up everything, I'd give something like echinacea and elderberry together as a winter booster.
That sounds nice.
Yes, and elderberry is a really good antiviral, and it tastes delicious as well. So that's nice. For coughs and colds, I use things like thyme, hyssop, plantain, eucalyptus, with elderberry we mentioned already, elecampane as well, where there's a really deep cough. And you can add warming herbs like cinnamon, which I think, you know, children like licorice if they like that taste. Yes, don't necessarily want to lower a temperature, because it's the body's way of dealing with infection. So by the body raising its temperature, it's helping to fight off the organism that's causing the illness. You would really need to keep a check if the temperature goes above 39 degrees Celsius. And when it gets 40 or above, you know, then you have to be really careful. Certain illnesses do cause a high temperature. So something like roseola will cause that spiky temperature. Then you keep a very close eye. And then herbs that help. They're called diaphoretics. They help to sweat, basically. So elderflowers, lime flowers, catmint is very good at cooling, and spearmint as well is cooling. You can give yarrow. It's a little bit bitter, I think.
Yeah, children don't tend to like it, but it's not the nicest thing.
But that does work.
There comes a point where you'd call for professional help as well. Do you get called out?
Yeah, well, what I try and do is, so if there's a patient, I will have seen them before, I've seen them as a family, so I'll try and make sure that people have got a dispensary on hand, and with a list of what herbs can be used for what conditions. So if they've got things already in the cupboard and they need to contact me, I can say, you know, make a mix of this or take those herbs, which is, it's always useful to have the have a good stock of things at home for those emergencies.
Yes, oh, absolutely. And of course, we also have a very dedicated National Health Service that help when we'd feel that we can't do more on our own.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, I would give recommendations, you know, with a fever, if you know, your child has a convulsion, I think most parents would immediately phone for help.
Yeah.
And if the fever's, the other recommendations would be if the fever's intermittent, it goes away and comes back again, or they're getting repeated fevers over a couple of weeks, then you really need to go and see your GP.
Mm-hmm. And find out what the cause is.
Yes, what's going on with that. Normally in a fever is, you know, it's acute and self-limiting, and
yeah, and children are very very good at having a fever, and then suddenly they're well again and hungry.
Exactly. And you know, a fever is a sign of a healthy immune system. You know, that body's working to get better quickly and just burn up the infection.
Yeah.
And then they're bouncing around again.
Yeah.
I tend to be, you know, if a child's got a good temperature, I'm not as worried as I would be by a child who's very quiet and withdrawn, and they might not have such a good temperature, but they're still unwell.
Mm. That's really excellent advice, Frances. And I was also thinking about that one of the things that challenges the immune system, apart from the bacteria, is anxiety and the stress of starting a new routine or a new school or new environment. Have you got suggestions for what parents can give to their children to deal with anxiety or sleeplessness or nervousness?
Yeah. Well, top of the list has to be chamomile. It's just such a good all-round herb and good for just tummy upsets where, you know, a bit of a nervous tummy. It just helps to relax and helps digestion. Doesn't always taste so nice on its own. I like to mix it with spearmint.
That sounds nice.
And other herbs that are not good for relaxation, things like lime flowers and lemon balm. If there's a problem sleeping, so just to relax down at night and get to sleep, a mixture with hawthorn flowers and lime flowers can be really helpful. If the child is older or needs something a bit stronger, I'll use perhaps some passion flower. And perhaps some essential oils in the bath or in an oil burner.
That sounds
in the
lovely
room.
Which oils would you use for relaxation?
Lavender essential oil.
Yeah, lavender.
Yeah. Like chamomile, I think that's a staple.
Yeah.
But petitgrain can be really relaxing. And geranium, rose of course, a few drops in the bath can be nice as well, just to help wind down at night. But sometimes children need a little, if they're very anxious and stressed, they sometimes need a little bit of a tonic, a nervous system tonic, to help build them up, make them stronger, as it were. And that's where I might use vervain and skullcap. That can also be used during the day and can help focus the mind, make them less anxious. But
those are very bitter herbs, aren't they? So
they are.
In what form would you give them?
I often give glycerites. So they're naturally a little bit sweeter to take.
To glycerides, that's like a tincture, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's got no alcohol in it. That works quite well. Sometimes just the addition of some licorice, if children like that taste, can help take away the bitter flavour.
Yeah. But getting them to drink a vervain tea, I was thinking.
That might be a bit trickier as a tea. I think drops is going to be easier to disguise. There are various methods. I get children to have a little taste of things as well before I make anything up for them, and just see what they like. And we can work with their taste buds. But also you can put teas in the bath, especially for younger children.
Make a pot of tea and put it in the bath.
That's
a great idea.
Because that gets absorbed through the skin.
Yeah.
And they don't have to drink it unless they drink the bath water. But
which they probably won't if there's vervain in it.
So
we've covered the relaxation and fevers and coughs and colds. And the other thing, apart from having probiotic for an upset tummy, have you got any other tips for upset tummies? Chamomile tea you mentioned.
Chamomile and spearmint. Spearmint tends to be a bit milder for children.
As opposed to peppermint.
Peppermint's fine for older children. Yes, I mean, there are some stronger herbs, but again, they'd probably be quite bitter for upset tummies. So I would stick with chamomile, spearmint, lemon balm.
Fennel. Do you use fennel for children?
So where there's wind and gas, definitely. If children have problems with constipation, then you could use a mixture of fennel with some dandelion root, and that, you know, is nice tasting as well. I don't like the flavour so much of fennel, but
So you're biased.
It works. I'm probably biased, aren't I? That I don't think. But yeah, there's aniseed, or my personal favourite is caraway. And dill.
So the seeds you're talking about now, as well.
Like fennel. Pick your favourite, I think. Yeah. They all work very similarly.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Frances, for giving us the tips and tricks for keeping the doctor away in the winter months for your children.
A pleasure. Always good to chat and talk herbs together.
Yes, it is. So thank you very much, Frances. And that was Frances Hambly from Hambly's Herbal Dispensary in Wadhurst, talking about children's problems and how to solve them.
Unseen, unseen, not a glimpse of green. Who knows where it lies, if it lives or if it dies. Somewhere there among the thorns, somewhere out there in the storm. Tread lightly, for you tread on the tree of tomorrow. Slow roots growing down, curling, coiling underground. Who can see where it lies, far beneath these darkened skies, a tiny shoot, a tip of green, piercing through from the unseen. Tread lightly, lest you tread on the tree of tomorrow. Without a doubt, it's seen the spring when blossom is king. It stands alone, so straight and tall. But who cares if it lives at all? Make a space, make a place where it can grow. It's not just for show. Tread lightly and make way for the tree of tomorrow. Its trunk is strong, its branches spread, a shelter for the living and the dead. Did you lend a hand? Did you feed the land? Did you live your life with more than just strife? The seasons turn so we can learn from the laughter and the tears all through the year. Tread lightly and look up to the tree of tomorrow.
It was fantastic to talk to Francis from the Herbal Dispensary about how to keep our children happy and healthy in the coming winter months. But I also have a beautiful garden I'd like to tell you about. It's not a secret, but a botanic teaching garden to help students get to know the herbs they learn about in books and lectures. Every week is a wonder in the garden, and this week I've had a lot of visitors helping me with their practical skills and insights. I've had Gemma, the herbal student who won the plant identification competition by identifying 58 out of 77 medicinal herbs. Well done, Gemma. The first thing her five children asked when they came to pick her up was, "Did she win?" Of course she did. And Dr. Frances Watkins came to help. I'm profiting from the fact that she no longer has her allotment, but will be joining me once a month in the garden instead. Frances is extremely nice and knowledgeable, and she is also a senior Hartwood lecturer. I'll be interviewing her on my show next week, something I'm really looking forward to. My keen gardening friends Arabella, Chris and Mariano also came to help weed and plant and mulch and cut the grass and share their skills and biodynamic knowledge. And Alex, my anthroposophical friend, who is working with me in developing a circular cosmic herb bed, combining the different herbal philosophies together into one happy unity. I'll be telling you more about this adventure in the coming weeks, months and years. I also had Louise, the body whisperer, tell us about how to read our body signals to heal the past. You can hear an interview with Louise on the Way Forward show on UK Health Radio. And Lakshmi Kaur filled the garden with her beautiful guitar music and song. I'll be playing her music here on the show in the coming weeks. A real treat for heart, ears and soul. I also had Ellie Kitson join us to tell us about the anthroposophical and practical ideas behind Emerson College. Such a nurturing, inspiring place. And last but not least, I had my friend and fellow UK Health Radio presenter, Stuart Sinclair, visit the garden. And he brought an amazing Siberian shaman called Tatiana Shena, as well as some Siberian granny tea for us to brew and drink from my flowery teapot. I felt my age and should have brought my knitting to go with it. But we made do with some vegan gluten-free biscuits and a huge plate of biodynamic grapes from the garden. Listen to Shena give us a rare insight into her world. Today in the garden, I have Stuart Sinclair.
Ah, you do.
And Shena from Siberia. And Shena is a Siberian shaman that Stuart from The Way Forward has brought with him.
I brought her to see you, Kirsten, because I know you have a great love of herbs. And you have a great love of things that make herbs grow and things in the garden. But the most important thing is, so does Shena. And she's from Siberia, where earth and ground is a lot, shall we say, unspoiled by commercial farming. And some of the herbs and things she uses very spiritually. And I thought you might share that.
You brought a present, which was Siberian granny tea.
Yes. Which was I dropping a hint?
Well, it's right for me. I'm not a granny. I'm hastened to ask. But
far from it, Kirsten. Yes. You're far too young to be a granny.
But I love granny things, you know, like knitting and gardening and so on. And it had willow herb in it, fermented willow herb. Mm-hmm. Do you use willow herb in your practice?
Yes, yes. So it has the special connection when you're drinking, when you're like taking inside, you actually feeling that power that was in that is in that place. So you are tuning to that power and bring it to you.
So we've been sitting here in a biodynamic herb garden, drinking it all afternoon, and we talked about that biodynamic is like the spiritual part of herbal medicine, and in fact that's the way you practice as
yes well, yes it? Yes, to connect with elements, and also this is one of the earth element that we taken from the ground. This all plants been, you know, in connecting with all elements,
the willow herb.
Yes, yes, yes. So we have the tea special to make you younger.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. And this is the secrets that they've been keeping for a long, long time.
So how do you know?
So yes, it's passing from Siberian shamans who live in there, who in temples all the time with their meditations, practices, and sending to us lots of energy also to help us here to work with people.
So I've never been to Siberia. I just have. Being Danish, we get the Siberian weather sometimes when the wind is in the right direction. Mm-hmm. It's always really strong weather. It's either extremely cold or extremely hot.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I have this image of Siberia, of it just being really big and there's nothing there. Is that how it is?
Or? No, no, you should come and visit next year. We're having a big expedition there. So you can come and see it, feel it, touch it, swim in the lakes and forests and mountains. It's amazing. It's one of the cleanest and so fresh. Everything like eco villages there. So they not using many electricity things at all. Where we just been, we had one day without electricity. Everybody, oh my God, I'm without phone, I'm without this and this. It's nature, relax. So they're so attached, you know, to these things that when you lose it, it's, oh my God, really?
So that's where you trained as a shaman.
Yes.
And what's involved in the training? Like we have
exercises. It's in the morning exercises, during the day exercises. It's almost all the time exercises, really.
Try and give an example of an exercise.
For example, happy morning rituals. When you go on the nature, of course, because all connecting with nature. When you connect into nature, when you connect into the owner, we call it Ayami, this the spirit owner of the land, of the place where you live in. And when you asking for the help for the day, for your success, for everything that you do, so this spirit help you in what you are doing, like
so communicate. Is it one, does every person have their own spirit, or is it one?
No, it's one particular, yes.
So do you know what the spirit is here? Where we are now at Emerson College?
Yes, when I came, I asked and offered my, you know, good emotions and good intention for it. So this is one of the things that shamans doing when they come into a new place. This is offering your good emotions and positive state. And the spirits always very welcome you with their good weather, with sunshine, with, you know, good vibes and things. And of course, if you will be a little bit critical or something, they can give you something not good, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. It was actually in Siberia when we've been there. If you have some negative thoughts, because only one day I had some, you know, a little bit just some thinking of not good. And when I've been eating, I just put instead of sugar, salt. This was the trick of spirits, you know. Are you sure you want to think like this? You know, we will put you not good to your, you know. So spirits very here and giving you signs.
I can see how spirits can affect a place like this, because that's very much what they work with in biodynamic farming and gardening. How does it affect your body? I mean, how could, in Western herbal medicine, we're very scientific and we talk about active constituents and, and diseases. How do you describe it in
so as I said, that everything connected, and when you connect into the land, to the place, to spirits, you can energize yourself, also you can purify yourself. That herbs can tune you.
So would you drink them as a tea? Or
as a tea, yes. We did for purification, we did with nettle and chamomile, the steaming. So it can purify a lot of women organs. What we did, warm purification we did with the herbs.
So a steam bath?
Steam bath, yes. And of course with the drum, with ritual. To get rid of old and tiredness, all, you know, diseases.
And that makes you more able to contact the spirits, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. You connect into yourself. To so your
it's
essence.
It's all about connection.
Yes.
And in fact that is, in essence, what Western herbal medicine is, as well as when things are disconnected, they get diseased.
Yes. Plants and herbs has the most subtle energy. They are even more intelligent than people. So they are connected to cosmical, to higher worlds, much more than human beings. Mm. So this is one of the why they're so powerful.
Beautiful. And in fact, that is true on a biological level as well, because we need the photosynthesis of plants to trap sunlight and make it into an energy form that we can use.
Yes.
So it's it, like we were talking about earlier today, that all the systems, all the healing systems actually talk about the same thing from different perspectives.
Yep. You'll find a lot of the systems have got a lot in common. And it's all kind of magical, and it's lovely.
Yeah, it's all magic. And it's beautiful what you're saying. Healing is very simple. The complicated thing is actually doing it.
Yes. Go and do it now.
I think actually it's the belief that by doing something, you can actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Call it belief or call it hope. But if you do it, and you hope that it will help you, it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is because of the spirit, I expect. You
you would say. That, and of course, you have to. There are expressions, like in the spirit of.
Of course. But people have realised that there's something more than just everyday life.
Yeah.
It's just we don't get encouraged to talk about it much these days. And it, in the past, we would have done a lot. And I'm not talking recent past. We have to go back a couple hundred years. But it was a lot. People were a lot more, shall we say, connected to things because they didn't have phones. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have, you know, PCs. They had to rely on being able to communicate with people when they had to go and speak to them.
And if anyone wants to know, learn more from you, are you doing anything here in England? Or?
Yes, we will do soon. In November, we will do a lot of events with shamans who will come.
And she can be found on www.thewayforward.org.uk. Under Shamanic Connection.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, both of you. Thank you, Stuart, from the Way Forward. And thank you, Shame and Sheena.
Thank you for letting me be a guest in the garden.
Yeah.
Quote of the week. This week's quote is a poem by Rumi, who was a 13th century Persian poet and Sufi mystic, born in Afghanistan 811 years ago, in September 1207. Rumi's poems have been widely translated into many languages, and he has been described as the most popular best-selling poet in the United States. The Guest House by Rumi. This human being is a guest house. Every morning, new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary unawareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
We've come to the end of today's Herbal Medicine Show on UK Health Radio. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll come back for more next week. I'm Kirsten Hartwig, and I'd like to thank everyone who listened and participated. In particular, Nick Rowley, Peter Firebrace, Francis Hambley, Tatiana Shaney and Stuart St. Clair. Next week, you'll meet master herbalist Dr. Francis Watkins, who'll talk about old forgotten natural antibiotic herbs. We'll also talk to the director behind the film Early Days, a powerful film about postnatal depression. And we'll talk about herbs, plant foods and changes that can help in that situation. So please join me again next week on the Herbal Medicine Show for another dose of plant power.